You guys can all start turning to James chapter 1 this morning. It's about, well, most of the way through the Bible. James is towards the end of the epistles, and it's the first chapter when you find James there. So I'm going to be preaching to myself, though, this morning, if you guys don't mind it. Is that okay? Because I'm just for today, you know. I'm going to be sharing with you guys what God's been showing me over the last couple of weeks. And it seems like it's kind of been a rough one lately. Kind of been not that upbeat, not that great as far as what has been going on. But it's a time that it's good to know what the scriptures say. And here's where God sent me, where we're at this morning. You know, it's just like God that He just has those words jump off the page when you read them. He makes things where you've read it plenty of times, and I know I've shared from the scripture before, I know I've taught from the scripture before, but He shows you how His word is alive, how it's new, how it's evergreen. It's just like Steve was talking with the evergreen tree. God's word is always green, it's always alive, it's always fresh. And He's doing a new thing through it all the time. He interacts with us, whether we realize that He's doing it or not. So in James 1, we're starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberality and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So every time I read that scripture, I get reminded that God wants us to recognize Him all the time. Not, hey, make an appointment with God and He'll fit you into His schedule. If you can even get a hold of Him at all. No, it's not just come to church on Sunday morning and have an encounter with God. No, He wants us to recognize Him all the time. No matter what we're going through, whatever the circumstances, He is there. He's omnipresent. He's always present. He's never distant. He's never abandoning us. There's so much truth that God wants us to get past our eyes and our ears and our mind. And He wants us to have it in our heart. He wants it to be our desire that we draw from His word in our heart when something hits, when the unexpected happens. It's right there so that the first thing we remind ourselves of is God. The first thing we remind ourselves is of God's nature. That's what I've been dealing with this week. Some things came up. Things weren't going as I planned. I started trying to do it on my own, and it started becoming harder and harder. I recognized that I was spinning my own wheels, and not just because it was icy out here this last week. I was trying to give it gas on my own, and I was going nowhere. So I stopped and I refocused myself. I started praying and immediately Holy Spirit put me in remembrance of this scripture and it brought me back into alignment with God. My worries stopped. My concerns stopped. A calmness came back over me. Those of you who have been around for a bit, you know I like to look at these scriptures verse by verse. So let's dive into the text here. There in verse 2 it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." James is writing this to believers. He's writing it to those who already have an understanding and a relationship with God. But James starts out with the dessert first. He's my kind of man. He tells you the good news before he gets into all the bad stuff. He starts out and tells you to count it all joy, saying, be glad for this. Not for the circumstances that you're in, but because you already have the victory. Because you know what the outcome is already. We have comfort knowing who we are running to, because God strengthens us through it all. Count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Now, the phrase fall into here, it literally means to fall into and being surrounded by. When you're going along and you come upon something, you just and get engulfed with it. You get engulfed with the trials. It starts to surround you. When it's everywhere you look and you're not seeing a way out, you fall into those kind of trials. It's where you're thinking that times are starting to get desperate. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this verse also. You see that word "when" there? It says, when you fall into trials, not if. It says, when you fall into the trials. I think a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about already. You've been through some stuff. They happen. They aren't pleasant to start with, by all means. But God really does want us to have joy in it all. He wants us to have joy even when things are going wrong. There's no if here. There are plenty of conditional if-then statements in Scripture. If my people who are called by my name, then I will heal their land. But this is not an if statement here. Falling into trials, we will face it. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. Doesn't mean, yay, the propane bill was 3 times what it normally is. Not even going to go there, but it doesn't mean, yay, I got into an accident. It's not rejoicing because of what went wrong. Like I said, James is starting off with the dessert first here. He gives us the good news before he talks about the trials. So when we hear, count it all joy, we need to look at what verses 3 and 4 say here as well. Because, you know, reading verse 2 without verses 3 and 4, we can start looking at it out of context. We can start looking out at it, and it doesn't make that much sense to count it joy when you fall into trials. But here's a wonderful thing. When you read it with 3 and 4, you know exactly what it means. A lot of us, we can probably recite verse 2 out of memory. A lot of us have probably claimed it out of memory before. But it's so important to pay attention to what else is going on. It keeps us from risking twisting Scripture to apply to our circumstances. So let's embrace verses 3 and 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You can't count it all joy if you aren't willing to let patience do its work in you. Verse 3 starts out saying, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Our faith is in the thing that the enemy likes to question the most. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to overanalyze everything. He wants to make us wonder, to rethink some of the givens that God has said. Now, don't get me wrong, it's good for us to wonder and to search out answers. But the enemy knows that if he can get in there to make us question, it's the best chance that he has to start separating ourselves from God. He gets us to think, is that really what God said? How is it that love with God allows us to fall into trials? How can we see God's goodness when we're in a trial? Why would God even make that happen anyway? Remember, God doesn't do anything bad to people. He doesn't bring about what happened, but he does allow it. But he will pull us through it. But the testing of our faith. Now, it wasn't very long ago that we talked about that word testing. And it doesn't mean the type of test that we think it does. It means the proving of our faith. It's the verification of our faith. It's the confirmation of our faith. So, knowing that the confirmation of our faith, that's a promise. Because when we have faith, we know how God reacts. First word here in verse 3 is knowing. We need to understand and accept God's promise to us here. That we know. That we understand. We have it tucked away for later in our spirit man. So the proving of our faith, showing the genuineness of our faith, it produces patience. Patience is a good thing. God does want us to have patience. I know you guys need patience with me. Patience helps reflect God's nature. It helps show His attributes. In verse 3, it says that we are knowing, and then what God says. In verse 4, there we go. We are doing our part. So there's a knowing in verse 3, and there's a doing in verse 4. In verse 4, it's, let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, so often when God instructs us, there's something that we're called to do on our part. I've said it time and time again, God uses yielded vessels. It's God who wants to be known. We're merely a conduit for what God wants to do. God is faithful to do His part, but we have to be willing to do our part and let God be God. I'm going to use a little analogy here and try to track with me. God's word is like soap. Now, just a bar of soap doesn't do us much good if it's not being used. Did you hop in the shower? Yep. Did you use soap? Nope. But it's on the shelf in there. No, God's word is meant to be applied. God's word is meant to be used, not to just leave it on the shelf. A little bit later in this chapter here, James writes in verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and contributes and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God has transformed us from the old man to the new man. He wants us to read his word and see that that is us. When we read it and we see that, but then we do something other than that, it doesn't fit for who we are. So we need to let patience have its work. We need to let patience do what patience does, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the word perfect here isn't the type of perfect that you may think. Strong's dictionary actually translates this word to mean fully grow, to mature. Patience helps us to grow up. God's promises to us is that we will be mature and complete. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to get past kindergarten faith and move on to bigger and bigger faith. I hope you guys aren't tired of word explanations, because we're about to get into some more. Some of these words, we just need to understand how they were originally intended and how we can relate them to today's words. It's hard for people to understand English, actually. It's one of the more complicated languages. We have so many words that mean different things that sometimes it's a lot easier if you just look at one meaning. So he wants us to be perfect, which is mature. He wants us to be complete. Here's what complete is when you look it up in the Strong's dictionary there for that word. It's without blemish or defect, faultless or sinless. Complete is without blemish or defect, faultless and sinless. So if we read into that, patience keeps us from sinning. We won't be lacking anything with God's promises if we allow ourselves to become patient, to endure and realize that this too will pass. We focus on God, and God will take care of it. So if we know what we need to know, and we do what we need to do, then joy makes sense. Now that we're digesting the meat of verses 2 through 4 here, let's add a little flavor in. We'll look at verses 2 through 4 in some other translations. In the Passion Translation, it says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." And the Message paraphrase, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open, and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." Some of those other translations just give us a little flavor there to see it in a little bit different light. We are growing when we let patience do its work in us. We should embrace our faith being tested, being proven. It's a good thing. Peter here, he echoes the words of James in 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The genuineness of our faith is more precious than anything of this world, allowing anything that's not of God to be refined off of us, and let what is of God to remain. Now, we like trials to be over quickly. We like it to be done without having to endure much. But look at Paul enduring what he went through. He went through years of prison stays. When they were out at sea and they became shipwrecked, the storm wasn't just for a few hours. It was likely for days or even weeks. So counting it joy is trusting God and letting God be the one to focus our attention to, and not our circumstances. I did something a little over a week ago that I've never done in my life. I was in a car accident. Now, I found my share of deer over the years, but this was an actual vehicle-to-vehicle accident. And it was more than just a fender bender. Now, everyone's okay. There were no injuries. But a guy pulled out in front of me, came out of nowhere. He pulled off of a side road, trying to cross the highway. He blended into the line of traffic that was waiting to turn at the stop sign. And I wasn't able to get slowed down in time before I hit him. Square hit of the front end of my truck to the passenger side door of his truck. Now, T-bone steaks are not my favorite kind of steak, and I really don't like T-bone accidents. You know, neither one of us really was going that fast, and it felt like a fairly soft hit, actually, at least for me, anyway. Now, this was Tuesday of last week, the day before the snowstorm that we got. So, the roads weren't even really slick yet at that point. I mean, if it happened over the snowstorm, okay, it would have been a little more understandable. It would have been more cautious, expecting to have to stop slower, expecting people to not pick up speed or anything too much. But I wasn't looking to deal with something like that at the time. I was going about my life when I fell into what was going on. I had plans on what all I needed to do to prep for the snowstorm. I was planning on going and buying bread and milk and eggs. Okay, no, not really. We've got plenty of that. Everybody else does that, so I mean. No, I was thinking through, okay, got the plow hooked on. Okay, what else do I need? Well, if I still need gas in the plow truck. Okay, I still need this, still need that. I need to figure out where I was going to stack the snow, where I was going to park a trailer so I didn't get it blocked in that I was planning on using, where I was going to park the other truck so that way nothing really got filled with snow. Okay, my shop, I've got turned over into a wood shop right now, so I can't really park it in there where I normally do. Okay, we're going to be shut down probably at Braun for a couple of days, so I'm going to go ahead and, or I've got all these things planned for guys to work on so that way they don't have to take vacation time. But the last thing I thought I'd be dealing with was an accident. And the drawn-out process of getting your truck repaired. The only thing I've let anybody do on my truck for the last about 10 years is tires. So it's not something that I normally have anybody work on. I really don't know where any good repair places are. Get to deal with the time for the quotes and then them fixing it. Had to call somebody to get a ride home, had to load up the truck on a trailer, all that good stuff. I like my truck to be the one hooked to the trailer, not the one on the trailer. It was the last thing I was expecting that day. And little did I know what was in store after that, though. See, with the snowstorm, it delayed getting the accident report. It delayed getting the insurance companies involved. Finally got the police report last Monday, and so now it's been a couple of days trying to get a hold of their insurance company. Finally got a hold of them, and they said, okay, yeah, we'll come out and estimate the damages. That way we know those trucks hold their values, so we don't expect it to be totaled out. So we'll go ahead and just make sure before you run into the repair shop. And then he called back, and I listened to the voicemail. Yeah, Mr. Hayes, this is the adjuster from the insurance company. Yeah, it ended up your truck's going to be a total loss. Now, that is the last thing I wanted to hear. Now, at this point, you know, I wanted to hear, okay, yeah, just go ahead and take it into the body shop. Doesn't look like this or this really has to be replaced. Should go quicker. Then I realized, okay, now I got to negotiate what the value of the truck is. And I started getting sticker shock at what 11 or 12-year-old trucks are going for. They're going for more than I paid for it 4 years ago. And that also means I need to start doing something that I dread more than about anything else in the world. Truck shopping. I can't stand it. Ask Ashley. It takes me about 6 months to find a truck that I'm looking for. I'm not really particular option-wise. I like my bare-bones vehicles. If it's got manual windows, even better. But I'm looking for a specific body style, looking for a specific bed length, all that kind of stuff. And it ends up wanting in a price range that I'm looking for, something that's mechanically sound so I'm not fixing it before I'm using it. I wanted a fair price. It takes a lot to get me flustered. And I think I was doing pretty good until I got the call that it was a total loss. And that's when I really started getting frustrated, though. It's when I really started to realize that those little things that the enemy tries to get in your head about. Started wanting to try to tell me about what the insurance companies and how hard they are going to be to negotiate with. How they're not going to give you what it's worth. That they don't play fair, that it's not going to work out. But that's when it pushes me back to God all the more. That's when we press in. That's when we look to Him to be the one to comfort us, to guide us, to give us that peace, to restore that joy. That's exactly when God laid this scripture on me. I had cried out to Him. I prayed in faith. And calmness returned. Joy returned. Now, I'm still going through it. Don't get me wrong. It didn't take it away. But letting patience have its work, that joy returns. So let's finish out with verses 5 through 8 here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The Passion Translation reads, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with generous grace. Just make sure that you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up 1 minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? The Message paraphrase says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get this help and won't be condescended when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second, though, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Important thing here is to ask in faith. God will answer faithfully. God's not going to pop an attitude with you. He's not going to question why you didn't come to Him right away. We serve a loving God. He wants to be there for us. He wants to have that relationship with us. If God said it, He will do it. He doesn't lie. So ask for what you need. Ask boldly. Ask confidently. If you need wisdom, ask for it. If you need calmness, ask for it. He will answer. If you need something to strengthen you, ask for it. Ask in faith. He doesn't hold back. Don't go, well, I hope that worked. It will. Have faith. Don't allow the enemy to get in there and doubt. We shouldn't be surprised when God answers. Ask for wisdom on how to act, what to do. You're in the trouble. Ask for help. God pours out wisdom. He gives understanding. And then it's up to us to walk it out. God's been showing me time and time again lately, He wants obedience. He doesn't want lip service. He doesn't want to hear you say what you think the answer is that He wants to hear. No, He wants obedience out of us. We listen for that still, small voice where we know that we've heard from God. And like any good servant, we carry out what the Master tells us to do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for returning the joy to us, God. Lord, we thank You that You are right there, God, that You love us so much that You are right there with us, God. Lord, in all things, You do not leave us one bit, God. God, we thank You for the grace that You have for us, Lord. We thank You for the abundant grace that You are giving us, Lord. Lord, we thank You that You want good things for Your children. Lord, we do ask in faith, God. Lord, we proclaim faith in this time today, God. Lord, we proclaim faith that You have good things planned, that You work all things out for the good for those who love You, God. Lord, we do love You, God. We love You more than anything else in the world, God. We love You that You are the one who's in control, God. We love the relationship that You have with us. There's nothing that You do not want for us, God. Lord, You care for us more than we even care for ourselves. And we thank You for that. Lord, You have empowered us, God, to do what You have called us to do, God. Lord, we let patience have its work in us, God, that You are doing something great and that You make us mature and complete, Lord. Lord, there's no one like You. Lord, we thank You for the relationship that You have with us. We praise Your holy name. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.